Welcome to Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, Suzanne Maresca, and myself, Graham Duyer. It's a pleasure to be with you. Today we continue our series on the divine qualities, and this is our seventh show in which we focus on these qualities. We started out with prudence, then fortitude, hope, purity, beauty. Last week we did joy. And today we're discussing compassion with Buddha as our special guest. And we encourage your participation. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Call us at 323-784-9697, 323-784-9697, and press 1 anytime so Suzanne knows to bring you in to the conversation. Well, good morning, Linda and Suzanne. Welcome.
Good morning. Hi. How are you, everybody out there? And how are you, Suzanne?
I'm doing really well. This is a really interesting subject, and I was just thinking that, well, I've been thinking all week, really, getting ready for this, but the whole idea of compassion is very related to what we've done in past incarnations and knowing that we have. So having done, been a holder of darkness, et cetera, it's easier to have compassion for people who are doing dark things now.
Mm-hmm. Not the truth. One of the things that I was thinking about this morning is that, as Graham was saying, that this is week 7 and sort of we're on the hump. And I can't think of a better, because there are 13 blessings and virtues, I can't think of a better quality than compassion to make that bridge, because it's so key in really changing not only ourselves, because we often think of compassion in terms of other people, but we don't often practice compassion for our sweet self.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is that necessary. The other thing I was wondering is, and I would love to hear from our listeners, is that this is week 7 and we've covered about half of the blessings and virtues. And we would love to hear from you today, not only about compassion, but how are you doing with the blessings and virtues, you know, that we have covered, the joy, the humility, the purity, the prudence, the fortitude, the hope. And so how are you doing with those qualities? Has this made any difference? Are you noticing any subtle shifts, you know, within yourselves? Because a big part of what the Council of Love and Enlight Radio is doing as we're working with these divine qualities isn't just the conversation. You may have noticed that every week that we do this, there's a whole download or an attunement of energy into all of us. Even those of you who are listening to the archives are receiving that energy. So curiosity killed the cat, but we'd love to know how you're doing.
Indeed. Yeah. We certainly encourage you to, I mean, Linda, you mentioned the archives, and this is a really great opportunity if you can't catch the show live or if you've heard the show and you want a little reminder or what was that little piece of information, go back to the archives. They're there indefinitely. We've actually done over, I think, 220 shows on Enlight Radio, so you can listen to all the shows for all the programs, but certainly for this series, we encourage you to go back time and time again, and Linda, you mentioned those energy downloads. That energy comes through the airwaves, through the internet, through the phone, and continues to spread across the planet and certainly impacts ourselves as individuals. So there are so many benefits for accessing these shows and certainly the archives as well.
That's true. And if I can, I would like to add in that people who listen to the archives and can't call in live with their comment, I would invite you to write into the Contact Us on the Golden Age of Gaia and put Heavenly Blessings in the subject line so I know that it's a comment on the divine qualities.
And Susie, can you just say what that link is and how they get to the Contact Us tab?
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. Go to the Golden Age of Gaia website, And at the top, there's a tab for Contact Us. Just click on that and write your little message into there about what you're feeling. And I read all those things, so I'll be able to compile them, and we can maybe I could post an article, or we'll see what we're going to do with them later. But I, you know, we would really like to know what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And that's goldenageofgaia.com, and we'd definitely like to hear that. How's this going for you? That feedback is really key. Well, what do you think, Linda? Should we proceed with a meditation?
Let's get going. Compassion, the ability to love and serve without judgment. What a huge subject this is. So, let's begin, as Graham suggests, with a meditation. And I'm sure by now, if you're a regular listener, you know the drill. But for those of you who are keying in for the first time, make yourself really comfortable. The meditation isn't about just assuming certain meditation positions. It's about making sure that you're not paying attention to your body, that it isn't aching, that it's not uncomfortable. So sink into your chair, particularly as we're working with the Buddha, because this is a big, huge, dense energy. I was sharing with Graham and Susie is that when I channel the Buddha, I feel like I weigh 2,000 pounds, and I don't. So sink into your bed or the floor or the sofa, your office chair, your car seat, wherever you are, and wherever you've taken this time for your wonderful sacred self, and feel the energy of the day, of the week ahead, just fade away, and all your energy sinking out of your mind, out of your to-do list, into your heart, into the anchor of your heart and your heart consciousness, which is the center of your being for the fifth dimension. The colors and the rays of compassion are red and green. And when I look at this green, it's a very deep green. It's the green of a pine forest. So open up your crown and open up your heart and feel yourself drift and allow. And let's start with the breathing of green, of that ray of love, of that ray of your heart chakra, in through your nose. Hold it a second. And on your out breath through your mouth, feel yourself going more deeply, as if you're breathing and sinking into your heart. Let's do it again. Breathe in the pine forest, the silence of the deep forest, of the redwood forest, the Carolinian forests, and that sense of quiet, the slight dampness in the air, even though the pine needles beneath your feet are dry and a cushion, telling you that Gaia holds you softly. and breathe green, that wonderful black green. And go deeper into your heart. And feel the compassion. That sense of allowing and understanding in so many ways, wisdom. No judgment. No trying to fix. Just feel that sense of peace within yourself and for yourself. Now let's bring in the red down through your crown, filling the crevices of your brain, the beautiful dark ruby, the ruby of love, of old stained glass. That I so often associate with Gaia, that rich red vitality, and feel the ruby in your root chakra that connects you to Gaia, and pull that up into your heart as well. And feel it merge and dancing, gently swaying with the green. That color of a blood red sunset. Of the red planet. And go deeper into your heart now. And feel that compassion. This is a divine quality that is common to all beings. Not simply religious followings or belief systems. And not only on Earth, not only amongst the humans. You see it in nature. You see it amongst the animals. You see it in the masters. And our star brothers and sisters. Compassion is a key to our going forward together. Never in judgment, but support. Greetings. I am the Buddha.
Welcome, welcome.
I come as the wayfarer, and I welcome you to come and sit with me before we pack and leave everything behind to wander the countryside. To minister, to bring hope, and to demonstrate compassion. Come and sit with me, my friends, under the Bodhi tree, and tell me share with me all your worries and all your woes, all your hurts and pains, so that they may be laid down. And then tell me your dreams, your greatest hope, the knowing of your journey, because there are very few of you. And when I say that, I mean less than a handful that truly do not know what your journey, purpose, and mission is upon this path. Sometimes you are too shy, or you judge yourself foolish, or you think that the dream is too big. And then you deny yourself. And when you do that, you do not practice compassion. Compassion is also an action, you know. And it is not one-sided. It is in the perfect balance. And compassion is what is sorely needed upon your planet of change at this time. And you are speaking with one who has a tendency to think in terms of thousands of years. And so when I say to you that compassion is important right now, I mean for the previous 1,000 and the next 1,000 years. But I also mean, my dear friends, in this very moment where you draw breath and exhale. Now let me explain. I do not come, although I am not against speaking about politics or institutions or economic systems. For all of these, are they run by machineries? No. They are populated by human beings, by souls such as yourself. And there are billions, literally, of stories, of approaches, beliefs, and ways that attempting and arriving at the place of oneness, enlightenment. And you are guided in all of these journeys by the universal laws. And might I say, the law of compassion, which tends to get very little attention. There is a tendency, and I understand this because it is something that I had to learn myself, to try and to heal or to fix or to recalibrate, redirect the journey or the pathway of another. And often this is done out of the kindest of motivations and of love. But it is the balance that we speak of this day, is it not? Because it is one thing to have a conversation with someone because you believe, and it is your opinion, that they are going off track. And it is quite another to be strident about it and to try and truly pull them in a direction that they really do not wish to go in. I wish I could say that this practice is rare, but it is very commonplace. And you see it in every walk of life and in every situation imaginable. When you try this form of redirection, and it is that fine line where love moves into ego, you are denying the soul path and journey of another. And you are also assuming that you know the outcome and the lessons that are to be learned, the experiences that are to be had, the value of those experiences, and the value of the pathway itself. You cannot possibly know I have watched my own son go into war and to die. And it challenged my faith, my stillness, even my journey. And in the decision of that direction, even though I was aware of the dangers that lay ahead, I thought I knew best. But you cannot interfere. You provide wisdom and love, insight and sharing. And then you stand back, detached and attached at the same time, holding the higher vision for that person and their journey, for the collective and their journey, but honoring their choices. You cannot do it for them. And when you try through undue influence or pressure, you are like a thief in the night. And what you are really doing is saying, I do not have any faith in you. And I do not trust that you are guided and protected, and that you have your journey that I may or may not understand. Now, it is natural. I do not wish for you to think that I speak against the laws of nature. So it is natural, particularly as parents. And I speak to all of you who are parents and guardians in form, to want to protect. And not only keep your children safe, but to protect them from heartbreak and sorrow and disillusionment. But then there is also the balancer, which is trust. That these beings that are of your loins, but that are also ancient, wise ones, know what they are doing. And that is particularly so with the children of today, these bright pinks and magentas, crystals and rainbows, being born into Gaia to lead the way into the new realm of New Earth. So you are in a difficult position. You are entrusted as the guardian. And yet it is the ability not to judge what you do not sometimes understand. And then there is an even greater challenge and difficulty, my friends, my fellow parents. It is to stand back after you have reached the point where you are honoring the pathway of your children and not judging yourself, because that is also a tendency. As well, I chose to be a parent, I assumed this journey and this pathway, and now look what I am doing. What if I fail? Because there is a belief that if your child fails or missteps, that somehow you have as well. Where is the compassion? Where is the goddess in that? Where is the place of Kuan Yin? And it is also true of your light worker community, of this brilliant circle, that you worry at times when you see someone off on a tangent or in need, even in dire need, and you think, how can this be? If it is a merciful, abundant, plentiful, generous, compassionate universe and source, how is it that my friend, my family is living in hell, in pain and misery? And, of course, your judgment of this only adds to that burden of pain and misery. Compassion. And that is why I have asked to speak on this today to each of you. It is an overused word and a incomplete, not misunderstood, but not completely understood or integrated. And this is also true for the light workers who say, have learned to say, oh, I don't have sympathy, I have empathy, I have compassion. But what does this really mean? It is the complete honoring without understanding of what someone is going through. Whether it is winning millions of dollars in the lottery or dying of cancer. It is understanding that you don't understand always. Yes, it is complete trust, not only in the divine plan, but in the plan of the individual. It is compassion that they have chosen mechanisms, because that is all they are. Mechanisms to arrive at their deeper wisdom and their enlightenment that you may not understand or agree with. And it is at times the heart-wrenching, conscious heart decision to be the observer, to support and not interfere. And my friends, I know how difficult that is. Now you say to me, Father, do you mean that I do not perform an intervention when I see someone in harm's way? No, that is not what I mean. But I do mean that you do not ever do so in a judgment or an assessment of what you think that individual is experiencing or going through. I do not say do not hold out a helping hand. But compassion is also non-attachment, and that is hard to practice. So what do? Long ago I have taught this channel the value of attach, detach, attach. And I do so for all of you because my teachings do not change a great deal. Attach to the person or to the situation to the truth of it as you understand it, not in interference, but just to assess and understand. It is like information gathering. Then you completely step back and detach from the drama, from the lower vibrations, from what holds someone on a painful journey. So you detach because you never wish to contribute to that. You become the silent, still observer. Then attach to the fulfillment of that person's journey. Not describing it or you deciding what it should be or look like, what it should contain, but the divine rightness of the journey that they had determined eons ago. And attach to that vision and that rightness with and for them, and hold that vision for them without judgment, without interference, leaving them free to maneuver. Because when you are holding on to someone, trying to force them to go this way or that way for their own good, you are manipulating, and it is an ego action, and it is neither of love, nor trust, nor hope, nor prudence. That is the action you take. You live now in this wonderful society that is in rapid change, and what you have thought and accepted as explanations of how things work throughout the universe are expanding and shifting rapidly. But at the same time, you are also living in a society that historically has loved to have instant explanations of how things work, how they function, why they function, why they misfunction. You want explanations for everything. And that is foolish. Because it is so much larger. So what I am asking of you, my dear friends, is to let go of some of this need to always know and understand. Do not judge every day as if it is your last on earth or your first. You are in the eternal flow of the Divine Mother. You are not about to enter or exit that. It is eternal. Find a balance. I do not suggest to you that you simply proceed blindly. but find the balance and what it is important to your own journey to understand, and what is simply unexplainable given your current situation. You say, I have difficulty with this, Father. I know, because to silence the mind and simply be in the heart is a discipline, a practice. So when you find yourself in that wheel of confusion, come. Come and sit with me under the Bodhi tree, where we can empty your mind and your heart and simply sit together in the wonderness of all. And when the time is right, we will stand up and venture forth to share the knowing of nothing with the rest of humanity. Go in peace.
I have questions. Would you be willing to sit with us a bit more?
Yes.
Well, firstly, a most welcome invitation for us to join you in times of need and times of assistance to anchor back into our hearts. You've spoken of letting go, detachment, honoring the path and the choices of others. And of course, you've spoke to, and this is through personal experience, the challenge of being a parent. And who can't relate to the challenge of stepping back, holding our children in love, and in support, releasing judgment and letting them move forward in the path that they need to follow. And it doesn't, of course, just hold true to parents, or rather to kids. I mean, it holds true to those of us taking care of parents, our significant others, family members, those who are in positions of leadership, who are now making different decisions, and those who are in positions of influence who are making different decisions. And, of course, you've spoken of light workers. And we are, as we establish a new paradigm in a new age, making very different decisions and taking very different paths. And I'm thinking of that quote, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. And so it's really about stepping into the unknown and doing things very differently. You mentioned the term wayfarer, and I was wanting to, we don't hear that too often, and I wanted to just ask you to explain that for those of us that, for those listeners that aren't familiar with that term. And you also spoke about the need for compassion on the planet, and I wanted to reconnect to that in a minute. But would you please explain what wayfarer means?
I come to you as the Buddha energy and the persona, if you wish to think of it that way. The name I give to myself is the wayfarer, the one who wanders and who sits. Because the wayfarer is not attached to anything. So it is the name I give myself. And I invite many of you to be a wayfarer, Now, you see, you say to me, what is the difference, dear friend, between being a wayfarer and being a way shower? And what I would say to you is there is significant difference. The way shower literally is helping to guide and direct in a demonstrable manner. As the wayfarer, I will join you and say, let me walk with you for a while. And our conversation and my energy will add to your heart and to your understanding. But I am not pretending that I will guide you to the end. I simply will be with you to walk with you.
I see. Thanks for speaking to that. You mentioned that compassion is sorely needed on the planet. Yesterday on our sister program, An Hour with an Angel, Sanat Kumara Raj spoke to how the population on the planet ready to ascend has increased from around the end of last year, December 21st, which was about 30%, up to now 55%, I believe he said, are ready to ascend. And so that suggests to me that the level of compassion on the planet, compassion for Gaia, compassion for all her inhabitants, compassion from one person to another, compassion, self-compassion, which you mentioned, of course, is so important. That suggests to me that compassion on the planet is increasing quite a bit. And you've spoken in terms of thousands of years. As you reflect back over the years since Gaia incarnated as this planet, what would you say the level of compassion is on the planet compared to previous years?
No, I will not do that because of circumstances. You cannot compare the ancient Earth, where, in fact, at many points, there was far greater harmony and therefore compassion between the Gaia, the kingdoms, and the people, because there was not that false sense of separation. There, you see, it comes in ebbs and flows in times when community and family truly work together. Oh, there were always spats and sometimes feuds. But the understanding and compassion was more immediate because it was more personal. So it is, there is an element of personal, but not of judgment in compassion, in true compassion. You say you see and you feel compassion for all those who are starving. But truth be known, if you have never had an empty belly, if you have never witnessed a child crying in hunger, if you have never seen the beggar on the street with his bones like a skeleton, then your compassion is more theoretical. I do not say less genuine. So you see how it shifts depending on what the time and the place is. Now I also tell you, compassion on the planet is so necessary. And yes, it is growing. You are doing well, my friends. because you are letting go of the judgments of that old third prison that so many were kept in. But compassion, we will not even begin to speak in percentages, because compassion is infinite and it has the capacity to grow and to grow and to grow. So you can be compassionate, and the support you can be offering can be so monumental without a hint of interference or judgment. And you are not there yet, because you do hold judgment against those who are still in their drama of abuse, of infliction of pain, of war, of creating suffering. So there is a ways to go, and that is why this element of compassion is so needed. And it is funny. And I do not mean humorous. I mean strange. One can say, I have compassion for those who are suffering mutilation or oppression. And yet, there is not compassion for the person down the street who is suffering from an abusive relationship and alcoholism. It starts at home. That is why I have taken effort to speak of the family. And you are correct, the compassion for the old ones, for a partner who may not see the journey the way you do. And the wonderful thing that I have not mentioned about compassion, and one of the ways in which it grows very rapidly, it has a very much reflective quality. So when you have compassion, say in a partnership where one is on one path and one is on another, and you have great compassion for the one that you feel does not see the light, and they do not see what you are doing, so you practice compassion and you give it to that person as a gift wrapped, well, I prefer magenta, but what happens as soon as you do this exercise of compassion, it comes back to you tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold, because it sucks judgment right out of the equation. And it sucks the need for approval. Compassion has no need for approval. And this is a difficulty that so many light workers struggle with, because often their journey is lonely. You think I do not know this? That is the way, sir. Because I walk and I wander the planet alone. I may walk with you for a while, but I am alone. And I am you at the same time. So many light workers wish for this compassion, and they see that what they are given is disdain and dismissal, and that many whom they really want to love and approve of them don't. And it hurts. And so there is an injury. But if you switch in that moment of feeling less than, in that moment of, I am tired of not being seen and understood and accepted and loved, if you switch and you say, I am going to send compassion because obviously this person, this group, this organization does not understand. So you are not judging them as the injurer, as the predator to on your happiness. You let them go. You send them compassion. And you let them go. And then that compassion comes back at you. It works miraculously. I have been using it for a while.
What you share here makes perfect sense to me. I had an experience recently where someone whom I've been very close to, who has been challenged by my path, we had a really great discussion that we both reflected on as being really important for both of us. And I had shared with her, I said, boy, you know, I can really understand, I really get how the path that I've chosen, I'm sure it's been really scary for you because I'm doing things that are very different than how you met me. I'm sure that brought up some fear in you. You were seeing me change. You were seeing our relationship change. You were concerned that I was doing things that, from your vantage point, didn't seem based in reality. And I get it. You were concerned. You were confused. It was scary. And, boy, that just melted the tension and the challenge that we've been experiencing. And you've spoken during the show today a lot about letting go. And letting go of attachment, letting go of judgments, just letting go and softening and stepping back and just letting that melt away is so, so huge. And so if I think of a child that wants to go into the Marines, for example, and I have some thoughts about that, and I would if my son chose to do that, that would be really, really difficult. But to surround him with love and support and let him know that that love is rock solid, and maybe offer my opinions, maybe offer some thoughts for some considerations, but also say, I get an honor and trust that you need to do this for your soul path. I'm throwing a lot in that mix, but some inspired thoughts on the heels of your comments.
You understand.
One of the things that I've tried to do as I think about those who have inflicted harm on others, who have brought about genocide and war and oppression of others, and the list goes on, and I can look at leaders of the world, I can look at people more locally, is to remember that we've all played dark roles and that we are all from the same spark. We're all from the same source. And to envision that person, that being, in the form of a child, of a baby, and think about what they may have been exposed to over time during this walk here. And it really helps me soften to think, geez, if I was exposed to those same circumstances and challenges, I may very well be doing the same thing. And that really helps me connect to another. It really helps me soften. It really helps me extend compassion and empathy and helps get on the same page. Do you have any other suggestions for how we can, other tools or tips for how we can engage compassion with others?
It is to make it a habit. And also, as I have said, to not assume that you have the fullness of the picture or the understanding. There are those upon your planet who have played very dark roles, knowingly and unwittingly. But what it has done has brought to the forefront the anathema that this kind of behavior cannot be tolerated, that you do not choose as a human collective to go in that direction. And so, yes, you practice compassion. Compassion starts with yourself. And you are asking, do you have some practical tools? There is a lot of mind chatter that goes on in each of your beings every single day. And it runs like, oh, that's stupid. I shouldn't have done that. How could I do that? That wasn't right. Oh, I made a mistake. And then there is some harshness. Now, the difficulty with compassion, it is not permissiveness, but it is never, never judgment. And when you are judging yourself, as all of us have said, it is never of love, but it also diminishes you. So when you practice, when you stop yourself and say, no, no, compassion, because it allows the deeper understanding of the why and the attachment to the higher vision, the true vision of who you are or who another is. And in that way, you move along. And it is literally a practice. And you are given thousands, yes, thousands of opportunities every day to practice compassion with yourself and with others. So it is to make this a practice, to stop yourself as if you have a hiccup. And to say, well, is that of judgment or is that of compassion? Until it is simply, wonderfully, completely second nature. It does not imply agreement. Let us also be clear about that. So it does not mean in stepping back that you say, oh, I agree. I will not interfere with the practice of genocide because I am practicing agreement. No, no, no. You are practicing compassion. And you are holding the higher vision while taking sensible action and going forward, not contributing to the chaos and the mayhem, but holding the higher vision. Very often, judgment is quite personal. And even when you say it in a general way, if you peel that banana, then what you find is that you are truly judging or criticizing an individual. That is what it comes down to. And therefore, you are not recognizing the divinity within them. You are not calling out to that divinity to rise up. That is what compassion does. It calls out for that divine spark to rise up rather than to assume an ego defensive stance. And you want the defensiveness, the need to defend, to be gone. It serves no purpose.
You've spoken of compassion for the self and how that's where it starts. Boy, isn't that so important? And you've also spoken to the importance of practice and practicing being your best friend or one that your best friend, to extend to oneself, yourself, empathy and patience and compassion is so important. Oftentimes we hear the people mention, well, they're doing the best that they can. Do you feel that that's genuinely the case, or do you feel that that at times is just a way of disengaging from the situation?
It is a way of disengaging. Just as I have said, that compassion is infinite, so is your potential. So I am going to speak out of both sides of my mouth. You say, well, they are doing the best they can. But then the question becomes, what are you doing to assist them to see how much more they can be? Because there is a shadow of judgment. Oh, I'm not judging you. I guess you're doing the best you can do. Well, that means that you are judging that person as less than. That is all they are capable of, when in fact they are capable of complete enlightenment. So you send compassion because they may be caught on a treadmill. You do not act harshly towards them, but you hold the higher vision. And yes, I know, because it is discernment in words. Compassion tends to be quite quiet, you know, because the flip side of this, you are doing the best you can, is the same as, I know you can do better. And that is judgment as well. You are not doing good enough. You are not measuring up to some standard that I have. The question is, what is your heart's desire? Do you feel that you are doing in every way what you desire and want to do? Do you feel in every moment of every day that you are the fullness of who you are? That is the question. And it is up to the person to respond. Because what you are saying in that question is, I support you in what you desire, in your path. I am not expressing agreement or disagreement. I am supporting you in love. There are very few beings upon your planet when approached in that way with such unconditional support and permission to become, that do not flourish. Because in that question is also the opening for a very human conversation. You know, I've always wanted to try and do this, but I have these self-defeating mechanisms. And then there is advice and sharing, and that is different than compassion. It is true heart conversation. And it doesn't mean that either one of you has the fullness of the answers you are seeking. It means that you are seeking together. And that is becoming. That is the path of enlightenment.
Beautiful. Suzanne, you have a question. Suzanne, are you with us?
Hello, hello.
There you are. Hi.
Hi, hi, sorry. Okay, hello, Buddha. Thank you for sitting with us, and welcome. Okay, so as light workers, we do what we can to raise the frequency for all of us. We see humans whose path is one of refusal of the ways of compassion. You speak to the experience of a thing bringing compassion for others, as in if we starved, okay, we can understand and have true compassion for others. I would like to make a comment, say that's also true for perpetrators, compassion for the abusers, because they are suffering under a greater illusion of separation from source than we are, and for that reason, I think we should have the greatest compassion for them. We've been given information that we're all going together to higher dimensions. Will there be a split of humanity at some point?
Not necessarily. That is why this compassion issue is so key. Because when there is compassion, there is awakening. Because there is the latitude to explore. Oh, so let us use this example of the perpetrators. When they are not being bombarded by the old paradigm of fault, blame, separation, control, it creates a crack and an opening for them to begin to realize that they are loved and lovable.
Mm-hmm.
So, might there be a separation? Yes, but that is not the human desire, the collective desire. You have been most ambitious in your declarations of the collective. Now, does this mean that everybody will have laid down their guns or their hatreds? Well, yes, it does. Because there is no room where there is love. It is just the antithesis. So the perpetrator becomes the apologist, and the apologist becomes the acceptor of their actions. Is there reparation? Yes, there is. And it is accepted in the spirit in which it is offered with compassion. It doesn't mean that there is a magic wand and you say, today everybody changes and all is forgiven. You know that is not the law of karma, even during this time of karmic dispensation. There is the balancing out, but it cannot balance out until there is forgiveness, self-forgiveness, and then forgiveness of one another. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, because you never want to repeat certain atrocities. But it does mean that the edge, the vicious razor's edge of pain, is not present. We are capable of softening that with and for you as you move through this transition. So it is not simply a human undertaking. We are all very much in service with you.
Oh, I do feel that. Early on when you said you invited us to come and sit with you before we pack up, I'm just wondering, are you referring to ascension there, an imminent, tangible shift?
I am, and I am not. Yes, there will be a point at which we say, stand up and go. Let us all go together.
Yeah.
But I am also speaking of the balance, that when you have unweighted yourself under the Bodhi tree of everything, then you are free to stand up without carrying the burden bundle on your back that is so heavy that you feel that you could not come and walk with me and travel to the villages, the towns, the cities of light, saying, look, we bear good news. So it is both, my friend.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Do you have a story or poem that best illustrates or speaks to compassion for these times that you'd like to share?
I wish it to be very much applicable to your times. The archangels, under the guidance of the Mother, have put many into a process, what I would say is a light box of containment, where these beings are being rehabilitated in a divine way of being penetrated by love. Now, from the perspective on our side, this is the most compassionate action that could ever be taken for these individuals and for the benefit, the compassion of the collective. What we are surprised sometimes to see is there is an attitude amongst some who say, well, that's good, they've been taken out. That is not the purpose. Do they need to be removed for the collective and the whole, for Gaia, out of compassion for Gaia? Yes. But it is an act of compassion. It is not an act of destruction. Under understand what I say. When you walk with me, do you show compassion for the flowers, or do you trample them? Do you show compassion for the animals and their pathways, or do you erect fences and corral them off their feeding and drinking natural habitat pathways? Compassion is not simply for the human beings. It is for everything and for the entire planet. I give you my heart of compassion. I share my being with each of you. You may draw upon it, because within compassion is infinite strength and knowing of the divine. That is my message this day. Go in peace.
Thank you so much. I'd like to...
Hi, it's Spacey Linda.
Oh, well, you beat me to the chase, Linda. I wanted to bring you back on. This is such an important topic, and I know you really connect with it in many ways. What's coming up for you?
Really, compassion, in a really small way, instead of the big way, for ourselves. I heard the Buddha say that there are thousands of opportunities now during the day to practice compassion. And so, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm thinking, thousands? Like, I'm thinking maybe dozens, maybe 100, but thousands. And then I think of all that mind chatter that goes on. You know, it's like the subtext of monkey brain.
Right.
That goes on all day long about, particularly about ourselves. And generally, what I see in people, and this is particularly true of each and every one of you who are listening, you're so kind and you're so generous with everybody else. But you often really give yourself a hard time. So what I'm walking away with is that practice of compassion for ourselves as well. You know, in the littlest ways, you know, and in the biggest ways.
Well said.
Because some of us think, you know, in the biggest sense, like, wait a minute, I'm broke, I don't have a job, my light bill is due, and I chose this path. What could I be thinking of? Where did my brain go? And we do that internal struggle rather than having compassion and not judging it and saying, well, I have to not only have compassion for myself, but I have to trust that I actually, at some level, I do know that this is my journey and I'm on it. And I may not understand it. That's what I took away from the Buddha today. We don't always understand it. but we compassionately embrace it. And to do the same with when we feel that we got it and we did good. Because
mm-hmm.
We'll often minimize that as well. Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, because when we celebrate what we do well and we have compassion for that, well, that's part of our journey as well. Then that builds. So it's standing. You know, this is a real theme right now, and we talked about it yesterday on Hour with an Angel. We talked about it in our team meeting last night. It's being in the center point of that fulcrum and not at either end of the teeter-totter.
Well said. Well said. A delightful show today. Thank you, Linda, Suzanne, for all those of you who are participating and listening, and of course to the Buddha. Please come and join us again next week. We'll be talking about truth. Linda, who do you think is going to be joining us?
I was asking this morning, and it was I heard laughter, and of course it has to be Archangel Michael, because his blue flame of truth. I mean, you know, there are many that would love to speak to truth, but it's going to be Archangel Michael. And I just want to reiterate what Suzanne had said earlier. We'd love to have your feedback, you know, compassionate feedback, just on what you're experiencing. So, you know, keep those cards and letters coming in. It really helps us know how we're serving you or not serving you. So let us know.
Indeed. Have a wonderful week, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. All my love.